how I was raised. When I was a kid growing up, my dad had always said to me, he said, "Doug, you know, be a leader, not a follower." He tried to instill in me courage to do the next right thing, courage to do what I had been taught and how I was raised. He had also taught me about surrender. Growing up in our house, we went to church on Sunday, and we also went to church Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And I learned early on about surrender. Although I think at the time probably had a skewed, idea of what those things meant. Although I was taught surrender to a power greater than myself, loving power greater than myself, as well as surrender to higher values and things and principles, I was raised and that were instilled in me at a young age. However, I'm not here because I did those things. I'm here because I didn't do those things. And I spent a lot of my time as a follower. I was always very interested in how other people perceived me. And I had a tendency to need approval from other people. Didn't have the courage to do the right thing in spite of what other people around me were doing. And also had a really strong tendency to be rebellious. Had no surrender in me at all. Because I had also an idea that surrender was a form of weakness. Thing that my mind gravitated towards in like meditation on these two principles was when I first came into recovery, when I first got clean, and leading up to that day. I remember I shared this earlier today. The last time I used, I had just spent about 2 weeks on a rough bender, and I had been clean for like 6 months before that. And, I was getting high in the basement at this restaurant that I worked at. And after I got it in down there, I went outside and was smoking a joint behind the dumpster. And, I remember somebody in recovery that I work with there seeing me and feeling like it's over. You know, I'm caught. The show's up, you know. And that was the second day before I got clean. So that would have been March 4th in 2013. The next day I went to a meeting called Nothing to Fear in Warren, Ohio at 9:15 on Monday morning, picked up a white key tag and thought that, you know, this was the start of my new journey. Being the good addict that I am, I still had saved a little bit, thinking that it was going to help me come down. And, I was using it, like leaving that meeting, I was using. And I remember driving down the road, and I threw it out the window. And that was the last time I had used. And I attribute that to God's divine intervention in my life. But without that, without his power, without his help, I wouldn't have been able to have that initial surrender in my journey. There have been many levels of surrender throughout my journey, and especially early on in my recovery. When I worked my third step with my sponsor and made a decision, that decision to me and how it was explained to me was a decision to move on and continue on with the rest of the steps, which is what I did. And it was a huge moment of surrender in my life, because it felt like I was finally ready to take action more than I was doing about, hey, get out of here. Go on. Sorry, dog bomb. So anyway, I've had many levels of surrender, from early on in my recovery, until now, I continue to have, a need for surrender in my life and forced at times to surrender to things that, I do not have control over, which I think we know we very little of that. But, there was a very profound awakening in my life when I realized that surrender was the way to victory. When I had first heard somebody say that to me about giving up wasn't quitting, it wasn't truly admitting defeat. It was a path to victory. And when I had learned that, I came to terms with the idea of surrender and became comfortable with letting go of everything that I believed to be the truth, and accepting that, I needed help and I didn't have the answers anymore. And I still have to come to that level of surrender sometimes in my life today when I wholeheartedly believe something to be true, and, then have the rug sometimes, metaphorically pulled out from under me. So surrender. I was also told, like, Doug, you're never going to beat the chemical. I did think, as my sponsor would say, it was the stuff on the table. But really, it wasn't. I know today that I will never beat the chemical, and there's no battle even to be fought. My addiction and, my belief and what goes on from ear to ear is where my disease centers. And, so it really has nothing to do with what's on the table. I think a lot of, and something to kind of revert back to what I said about my childhood, and I think that a lot of us could relate to this, is just that, I was also raised to believe that I could do anything that I set my mind to. And it kind of had this idea that, it was some sort of form of weakness, like I kind of mentioned earlier, to actually give up, that I couldn't do it on my own, that I couldn't stop using on my own, that I couldn't just figure out the secret to beating the game and find out how to live successfully and just drink beers and smoke weed. And couldn't figure it out. My first step was definitely profound in that it was admitting my powerlessness and learning that, my unmanageability was after I put down the chemical. I couldn't live with or without it. you know, that level of surrender was profound early on in my journey and in my step working process. You know, I think in, I kind of, when I talk about my second step and how I worked my second step in my life and how my second step played out in my life, you know, I think I always compare it to, like, when I got clean, or one time when I was in treatment, I saw a bunch of guys that I was also in treatment with, and they had stayed clean for like 6 months. I always call that my second step, because when those guys had stayed clean, and I was sitting there in treatment yet again, I knew, I believed that there was something out there that could restore me to sanity. If it could do it for them, then it could happen for to me too. And I always call that my second step. And I guess on the other side of that coin was I saw myself as equals to those other guys that were staying clean. And if they could do it and I could do it, if they had to surrender, I had to surrender. So, you know, again, picking up the pen, start writing a step. Start writing an inventory, and sharing it, all levels of surrender to me, and knowing that, like, this is what I needed to do, to get clean and importantly, more importantly, stay clean.
It's 3 o'clock.
So, I guess I don't know how much time do I know if I have? Okay, I don't know, but
you got like 15 more minutes.
Oh, okay, great. When I think about courage, right? I also thought a lot about, you know, different ideas and things that I had about courage at the different levels, different stages of my life. And I think, you know, when I was out there, you know, I was fearless. Or so I thought, you know, I would do anything to get the next one. I did many things that today I am truly not proud of. It really wasn't courage. It was just reckless abandon to get the next one by any means. But like, I definitely had an idea of what I believe courage was. You know, it didn't matter what I had to do to get the next one. I did whatever it took. And what I came to find and what I've learned and what I believe courage is today is doing the next right thing. And that's really hard. It really is sometimes. You know, I can't help, you know, and it's weird too. Like, I think about, like, you know, when you're in a meeting and, it was a topic meetings and like a topic comes up and like the topics are like, you know, the first step and, honesty or something like that. And you're like, and we get to share and we're like, oh, well, these two topics just go perfectly together. When I think of this, it goes with that. And like, you know, when I think of courage and surrender, obviously, like, they too can be two sides of the same coin. And how well, you know, like, the courage needed to surrender instead of continuing to fight. And I almost feel that today especially, you know, in the world and in the environment that we live in today, that it's going against the grain and having courage to do the next right thing, isn't tied to surrender. And to do the next right thing is harder today, with the tendencies and temptations and things that are out there in the world that make it easier for us to take shortcuts, for me to take shortcuts, for me to do the wrong thing because it's easier, the easier, softer way. And I don't like that. I don't like that. And I truly do believe that today that going and doing the next right thing is going against the grain. It is in today's society to swim upstream. And I don't know if that's an outside issue or my opinion on that matters, but that's how I feel. And that's how, that is what I know, is that as soon as we face our society, as soon as we face our problems in everyday living, that much faster do we become productive and responsible members of that society. And today I put in the footwork to be a part of that society. And today I also want to be a leader and a voice in that society. So I guess by me saying those things or whatever, if they might be an outside issue, I'm not sure. But what I do know is that it's part of my value system and my principles and how I want to live and how I want to be perceived. And Narcotics Anonymous has brought me to a higher level of those principles in my life. I have a God-given instrument inside of me called my conscience, and it interacts with me and lets me know when things aren't adding up and when there's a disconnect between my head and my heart, and it lets me know which direction I need to take, which path is the path. And at the end of the day, or in the end of the moment, it's my choice to make that decision or not. And then I think that's when the courage comes into play. And I think that's when the surrender comes into play. You know, when we first get here, you know, we are told and we believe first thought wrong and second thought wrong and probably first 20 thoughts wrong. But I think, and I know through my experience of having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, that I have a relationship with my God today, and he lets me know, he gives me the choice by letting me have the awareness to make the right decision, have the courage and the power to make the right decision, or to do things Doug's way. And I think, you know, on my best days, I can surrender to a power greater than myself and have the courage to do the next right thing. And a lot of days, you know, I fall short of that multiple times throughout the day. But like, it's a growing process for me. It's different levels of surrender. It's different levels of courage. You know, I'll tell you what, I know that the disease is all body, mind, and spirit. I worked 60 hours this past week, almost, I think it was like 58. And by the end of the week, like, I was so mentally and physically exhausted that it just felt easier to be, to do the wrong thing, to be mean. I was angry. I get short with my fiance. You know, I'm just, you know, and like those things affect me. And, you know, and I guess it just goes to show how hard it can be in different aspects of our lives, in my life, to do the next right thing. But I think it's like anything else, right? It's, we practice these principles in all our affairs. And to me, what I've always tried to remember about that is the word practice. You know, recovery and our growth and everything is not just between the Serenity Prayer and the Serenity Prayer. You know, it's what happens the other 23 hours of the day. And, you know, it's just with God's grace that I've been able to put a couple of those together, and each day I get in a new shot at, trying to be courageous, to be a leader, to be, to surrender to a power greater than myself and say, you know, thy will be done, not mine. And when I'm able to do those things, my spirit is lighter and my spirit feels connected with my God, the God of my understanding. And, you know, everything's going to be okay. So I don't know. I think that's about all I really have to say, about those, about courage and surrender. Like I said, I spent some time meditating on those two spiritual principles, and, you know, like I said, I think my, you know, my life and my, you know, time getting clean, and also my life now, all has had like this growing scale of, levels of surrender, as well as like having the courage to, you know, be the man and, live by spiritual principles that I want to be today. And, yeah. So thanks for letting me share. It was nice. Great seeing all you guys.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Our next speaker on the topics of courage and surrender is Beth T. from Conscious Contact Group of the Palm Coast area of Narcotics Anonymous.
Hey, everybody. I'm an addict named Beth.
Hi, Beth.
Hey.
Hi, Beth.
Hey, haven't seen you in a while. Hey. Thanks, Bobby, for you're in my screen. I'm going to keep you there. And so I know Alex asked me about this, and I had to put it away because it's a few weeks. And so in order to get to today, I had to just really not think about it. And then I was able to do some meditation and some reading and pulled my book out, which is in a million pieces, and the first few steps and a couple of the books. And what I saw actually written in our third step in the basic text, at times during our recovery, the decision to ask for God's help is our greatest source of strength and courage. So, I got clean June 20th, 1989. And, I do remember my first meeting. I remember what I felt like. I remember what I looked like. And I didn't use that day. And I have to say the courage, the strength and the courage, the surrender, whatever it was, that I got to a meeting. And what I know is that really took a lot of courage. Thinking back at it now, I don't know how I got there. I mean, I had a car, but I'm just saying I didn't know how I actually got there. And when they gave out the key tags at the end of the meeting and somebody went like this and the whole meeting, somebody had been turning, this one guy was turning his hands over the whole time. I've come to understand, you know, turning it over. I've come to understand all these things. And, so surrender, you know, we surrender in this program. We learn to surrender to the program. We learn to surrender, stop fighting, stop thinking that we have control because we have none. And, especially over our addiction, our using. And so it starts from there. And, you know, over the years or even in that first couple years, you know, the surrender and the freedom that comes behind surrender. There's so much freedom. I didn't have to try to control anything. It was done. I didn't have to do it anymore. Getting up the courage to go to a meeting was a lot. You know, I had something to get up and get going, to continue to do this, you know, to have the strength to get up. There's so much fear. There's so much fear behind this. You know, I didn't know there was going to be somebody at that building. You know, and when we had the helpline and, you know, and everything and, you know, how is somebody going to be there when I get to that meeting? Are there going to be people there? You know, and I started going to these places and there were people there. There were people there, you know, and we did these readings and all these things. And I remember going, there were a lot of beginners meetings and there were, I remember some of the women sharing things that I had done. And I was like, oh my God, how can they say that? You know, and it gave me enough. I guess I was curious enough to keep coming back. And so to stay in that surrender, you know, not to want to use and take my will back, all these things were going on in the beginning because I didn't know what this was. I didn't know I was going to get clean when I got clean. I didn't know what Narcotics Anonymous was. I went to a meeting. I called the helpline. I needed help. I couldn't do it. And I was done. And so I have not used since that day I got clean. And, you know, it's still, I just, you know, without going through, it's about surrender. You know, I surrender. There's so many areas in my life now and over the years that the first few, we work on them. We write the steps. We work on them. We keep going and going and just have to work with our sponsors and, you know, and we go to meetings and I used to go to a lot of step meetings. There were a lot of step meetings because I really wanted to learn. I didn't know what this was. You know, I had a sponsor that I would meet with. It was great because I had this, I had this sponsor. And she said, you know, do like a history and to write these things. And, you know, because I knew there was something wrong with me. I didn't know what it was. And, so I did writings and I did things and I found out that I had tried to stop using. Nobody ever said don't use until that very first meeting. I never heard don't use. So it was crazy when I heard that. And then I started going to meetings. And in my first 30 days, I had to do a little bit of travel. So I went over to the west coast of Florida and there were people there. They showed up at the buildings. And so I kept coming back, you know, I really remember being scared. And the more I did this, the more I kept following people. You know, I jumped in everybody's back pockets. We'd go out to dinner. We'd go do things. And so life does change. You know, I read all this stuff. However, it's life experience now. I've got a couple books in me here, but you know, it's life experience, man. I found in any given situation, because I learned that it wasn't just about drugs and using drugs. It was everything, food, sex, exercise, drugs, shopping. You know, I started learning about the disease of addiction. It had more to do with the disease of addiction than it did with just using a substance. and any of those was a substance. So to keep going and to keep coming back, the hugs were scary. You know, and when they said, we'll hug you, we'll love you till you can love yourself, it hurt. That hurt because I didn't understand how you knew how I felt. And when I kept going to meetings, I didn't understand how you knew what was going on in my head, but I kept coming back. And it took a lot of courage to keep coming back, you know, of the unknown. We don't know in the beginning. The only thing I knew was using. And I realized the other day, or a couple recently, like I started using at 12. So here I was at 29 when I got clean, and I thought I had done such a great job with my life. And I ended up in Narcotics Anonymous. However, it's been one of the best things I've ever done in my life since. So, you know, it's a daily surrender, you know, the committee meetings up in my head and the horrible thinking and that I'm not good enough. That's been a tough one. Watching other people use, you know, and different things, that people would go to meetings, you know, I'd show up and there'd be meetings and, you know, like, hey, we're so-and-so and, you know, they didn't make it back. They went out last night and used and didn't make it back and things like that. And so, you know, I got to see how even though I had surrendered and stopped using, that other people were still using and the disease is still out there and the disease is still doing what it does and that, you know, we can get caught up in the grips of this disease and this illness and the disease of addiction. So it has always meant surrender. You know, we find this higher power and, they tell us in our second step, you know, to find a higher power that fills that void and stuff. I was told at 3 days clean, don't pray to my childhood God. Find a higher power. And I believe that that has saved me from anything else of the crazies that go in my head, of course, but it just saved me from understanding the difference. It was like, go find a higher power. Okay. And you know, I had a book, I got a book, I started reading, doing all that work. And, to this day, and if those of you are here or if you're new, I don't know who's here, whatever, I'm not looking. you know, the God thing was something that I hear over the years and I just say higher power because to me, higher power works and it's less of a invasive type thing to me. So, you know, this higher power that I got to choose, it's changed over the years. I've gotten to have different higher powers. It doesn't have to just be one thing, one person, one it. I've been able to change this to it's a power greater than me that I get to rely on because in order to have courage and strength and stay in this surrender, I've got to have something. And that's what it teaches us to fill that void. And that void is there. Man, I remember that void. You know, I remember wanting to go use, so having the courage to keep coming back and getting through things and getting through life things and has really all been the steps and finding that higher power. I also learned over the years that that higher power is not something that I just call my higher power. And I have asked that higher, my higher power to please let me know you're there and something that I can believe in. But that you believe in me too, because it's a partnership. And I don't believe that I just get it. So I've worked for it. And again, it's changed. And, you know, this courage thing, I remember being so scared that somehow I had courage to go to the meeting. I had courage to keep coming back. I had courage to keep putting one foot in front of the other. You know, I've had sponsors that have been there for me. I've had this, my sponsor, Gwen, I've had for, I think 23 years now. And, you know, it's, I've had other sponsors too. And you're my lifelines. You know, you've taught me these things so I can stand up and be the person that I am now, you know? So I think before I met my sponsor, Gwen, I had gone through a divorce at about 8 or 9 years clean. and I went to a convention, and I said to somebody, I had, you know, I got divorced, my husband was using, and I had to go. And this guy looked at me and he goes, "That was very courageous of you." And I was like, "What?" And we had this conversation, and like, I had never heard that. And so when I was asked about this, I was like, wow, wow. So that took courage. Courageous is courage, and that took courage. So, whew, you know, because it felt like somebody else's life and that I was living. It just didn't seem to happen, you know, taking a handful of clothes out of a laundry basket and never going back, you know, like, and he was a using addict, and, you know, and I left. And I've heard, like, you know, you loved yourself more and blah, blah. I'm like, okay, it's still such a fog because of the situation. But, you know, the courage that it takes to get up and keep going sometimes is a lot. And it's in that surrender, and only in that surrender, that I can find the courage. Because if I think I have this, I don't. You know, I've had some close people go out and use. And so I know that the disease of addiction is alive and kicking. And it works on us all. It gets me in my thinking now instead of other areas. So when it shows up and it's that strong, it does take a lot of courage to keep going, but it's easy to surrender if I'm in surrender. If I live in my surrender, I'm in surrender. I'm not fighting to have control. I'm not fighting within myself. I'm not fighting the disease of addiction. I've learned some buzzwords. If I'm powerless over my thinking when I'm in my disease. You know, there's different phrases that I can remember when I'm going through a situation that I'm not surrendering. then it's really helpful. And of course I have my sponsor and some other friends and stuff that I can call too when I'm struggling. And the struggle nowadays is so different than it was in the beginning. The struggle now is that I want to change. I just don't always what's going to happen or what the difference is. It's kind of like, okay, right now going through a situation with my mom. I need to change. I want to change. I don't want to be the same person. I don't want to be like my elders, like my grandmothers. I don't want to be like my mom. I've done everything I can to be the opposite with my daughter. However, making changes, I surrender. I don't have this. I surrender. My hands are up. My hands are open. I don't have this. And, praying and prayer and keeping that contact, that conscious contact, and that connection and that communication and that conversation going with my higher power all the time, and just saying thank you and asking, like, hey, can you please guide me? Can you please show me? And then saying to some of my close friends and supports and my sponsors, saying, I don't know how to do this. You know, like, I've gotten older here and I've grown up here because I was 29. I'm now 60. And, you know, it's like my whole life I feel like is in recovery, but I still don't know what to do. So I reach out, I stay in my surrender, and I ask for help, because sometimes I just can't do it. This thing with my mom is hard, but it was a little easier. She even called me today before, and I said I was doing this. Oh, okay. So, okay, well, have a nice time. And I said, thanks, Mom. You know, so I'm not being the hard ass with her, and I just surrender. So I'm still willing to change. I'm willing to grow. It takes courage to show up in my life sometimes, you know, when I don't know what's going on or I don't know what's going to happen. And I know in early recovery, that's like really intense, you know, like, what's going to happen? What do we do? You know, third, so how do you turn it over? I remember calling a friend, what is this thing? You know, what do we do? And now I have a higher power, and I have prayer, and I have friends and supports that guide me. And I think if anything, that we keep coming here, and we do get better. You know, if we don't use, we can get better. And And if we remember to surrender, our lives get better. And if we reach out for help and we pray and we have that conscious contact with a higher power and we turn this stuff over, it's amazing what can happen in our lives. You know, this real stuff that I said about my mom, or, you know, the courage to like continue working somehow when I didn't work for a couple months. We're all in this, you know, this is a we thing. And, some of us are fortunate, you know, and some of us are, you know, struggling and, you know, so, and again, it's out of our control. I do know that, years ago, I remember saying that, I could lay on the, I have a higher power and I could lay on the couch and I know that my higher power is going to watch over me laying on that couch. However, if I need to do something, if I get off my ass and I go find that job, go clean that house, go do what I have to do to put food on my table, then I'm going to be supported in my efforts instead of just watched over. So that is something I still believe in. I believe in Narcotics Anonymous. I believe that the best I can do today is be peaceful, meditate, prayer and meditation. I do pray before I meditate, and then I pray the rest of the day away. Always talking with my higher power, waiting to hear things. I hear messages when my hands are in water or if I'm in the shower. But I like to do dishes now. And, like when the message, I hear things. I actually hear in, not even in my voice. I know that's the disease in my voice, you know, but, I don't have that. I actually have messages. So it is really about surrender and courage to say what I get to wrap this up is to continue to move on, to continue to stay, to continue to show up, to continue no matter what, to have that there's faith in there. I know that's not part of what I'm saying, but that faith, sometimes that proof before faith and that faith before proof. And I could tell you so many stories of things that have happened over the years that are just amazing that allow me to know that I'm in the right place. I'm still in the right place. I had a woman that say, I don't know if you can sponsor me because you haven't relapsed. And I said, well, that's up to you. I know what it's like to want to use. I know what it's like to want to die. I know what it's like to OD. I know what it's like to, well, maybe you don't remember it, but you know, to use and to do the things that we did to get to where we are, you know? And so, I just know that I don't want to go anywhere else. So I do a lot of Zoom meetings now, which is pretty cool because I can sit in my living room and do it. And, I just try to just surrender and have peace in my life and a peaceful living and, spend time with my daughter, my grandkids. We're here for months during the week. And, you know, so life is really good as long as I stay out of my own way and practice every bit of everything that my predecessors have taught me, have shared with me, all of our books that we have. You know, going to meetings, experience strength and hope, living in that surrender, having the courage to get up every day and just do the best I can. And evidently, something's working. And I'll just keep coming back. Thank you.